قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. صلوات الله. Special tabrikat to all of you on this very important occasion in our calendar, which is actually the Eid of Imamat for us, where we have gathered to celebrate the birth anniversary of the Imam of our time, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatullah alayh. The Imam for whom the entire world waits. There are many who know him, and there are more who don't know him. But everybody is expecting for someone. The hope is there on a universal level. The names would be different. Maybe there would be misidentification, but the concept is there on a universal level. When we talk about our Imam, it's important to always remember our identity. We call ourselves as Muslims, but we are not only Muslims. We further identify ourselves as Shia Muslims. But that is also not sufficient. We further say that we are Shia Isna'ashari Muslims. Because a Shia Muslim is one who believes that after the Prophet, the first rightful Khalifa is Amir al-Mu'mineen. But then, when we further say that we are Shia Isna'ashari Muslims, we are actually further identifying ourselves as those who believe in 12 Imams. And that 12th Imam is the Imam of the time, and he is the Mahdi which was promised to us by the Prophet, and he is the one who will appear at the end of the time to establish justice and peace in this dunya before it comes to the end. At the moment, he is in the state of ghaibat. The normal translation of the word ghaibat in theological books in English is occultation. And this concept of ghaibat sometimes becomes, you know, difficult for people to digest or even to understand. And inshallah, this evening, you know, I'll try my best to explain what is this ghaibat, and is it only unique to the Isna'ashari Shias, or is this a concept which is even more universal? When we look at the concept of ghaibat, ghaibat comes from ghaib. Ghaib means the unseen. Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitab la rayba fi hudan lil-muttaqeen. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the book in which there is no doubt. It has been sent down as a guidance for those who are righteous people. And the way he describes the muttaqeen, the very first quality, alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. The first quality of muttaqeen and the righteous people is that they believe in the ghayb. Ghayb means the unseen. And it has different dimensions and meanings and levels. When we talk about, you know, our 12th Imam, and we say he is in ghaibat, it does not mean that he is invisible, that Allah has sprayed him with something, that he goes around but people don't see him. So it's not invisibility when we say he is ghaib, nor does it mean that he is living in another, you know, world. Some people try to find, is he in Bermuda Triangle? These are all futile, you know, exercise. It's just intellectual, you know, games, nothing else. It is, my late father used to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep him in ghaibat, and we want to go and disclose his location. It's not our business. You know, he says he's going to be in ghaibat, he's going to be in the ghaibat. He's in this dunya. Not like Isa ibn Maryam somewhere else outside in this space, for example. No. So ghaibat doesn't mean invisibility, nor that he is outside this realm of the physical world. He is in this dunya. He is visible. But when we say he is ghaib, it means we will not be able to identify that he is the imam of our time. Like the first of the four Naib Khas, you know, he says about the imam, he says, he every year comes for Hajj. So when you go for Hajj, perhaps one of the reasoning that when you are in Ihram, don't, you know, argue with people, don't push and show, because you don't know. The imam is there, especially in the plain of Arafat, where all the Hujjaj on the 9th of Zulhijjah are in one place. That is an area where you are closest to him, although you don't know him. So you wouldn't recognize him. And he says he goes for Hajj every year. Ya'rifuhum. He knows everyone. He knows his Shias there also. وَيَرَوْنُهُ. They see him. وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ. They see him, but they do not know him. And so when we say ghaib, ghaib doesn't mean, you know, invisibility or in, you know, somewhere in the outer space. No, he's in this dunya, but we are not able to know him personally or identify him even when we see him. Salawat. Before I go to this question that tonight I'd like to talk very briefly is whether this concept of ghaibat is unique to the Shia Isna'ashiris. Let us have a question for you. If the first question of the Kahoot is ready, please display that. If you're your mobile zone, you can connect. Let's see how many people know the answer. We know that the ghaibat is divided into two, ghaibat-e kubra and ghaibat-e sughra. But there's three statements there. Which would be the most appropriate way of describing it? Do you have the results there? What is the majority one? Huh? The first one or the second one? The right answer would be the ghaibat is one. There is no ghaibat and then huzur in between for maybe a day or week or month, and then ghaibat continued again. It was all one ghaibat started. We only call it Sughra and Kubra. In the first phase of the ghaibat, the imam was still accessible through the special, you know, representatives. In the second phase of the ghaibat, there is no representation in a specific manner. And so it's actually one ghaibat, only we use two different terms to describe the two different phases of the ghaibat. Salawat Pranik Parah. Now let me go back to the question that I have for this evening, is that the question of ghaibat, sometimes we think this is unique to Shias, and sometimes others actually ridicule us for that. They say, what kind of a mazhab is this, who believes in an imam who is ghaib? Many times they attribute this to Usman bin Sa'id al-Amri, the first of the four Naib Khas, and they say he is the one who invented these ideas and propagated among the Shias. It didn't exist before him. If you really look at especially the literature that we have from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, you'll come to realize that this concept of ghaybat, where the hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be absent from the people, especially from his followers, for a period in his lifetime, is not really just an Islamic phenomenon or happened only in the Islamic history or only among Shias. There are examples even among Anbiya. When you look at the life of one of the most prominent prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Ibrahim Khalilullah. If you study his life and his history, you will see that Namrud was the king at that time. And during the time of the birth of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, Namrud had some astrologers who used to work for him. Some of them had some knowledge. And they actually told him that the signs show that these are the days when that child will be conceived who is going to oppose your religion and destroy your kingdom. Very similar to the situation of Fir'aun later on. So when Namrud found this, he basically, in the town that they used to live, for those days especially, he ordered that the husbands and wives be kept separate from one another. He wanted to prevent coming of that, you know, child to this dunya who will destroy his kingdom and fight against his religion. And this is where, you know, we come to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has his own plans. Nobody can, you know, stop that. Ibrahim's mother didn't show any signs of pregnancy. Very similar to the case of Musa alayhi salam later on. That there was no signs of pregnancy. When Ibrahim was born, the mother basically decided, after talking to the father, that we have to somehow hide him. And the plan was that she took the baby to a cave outside the town and basically left the child there after feeding the child and covered the entrance of the cave with a big rock. And then she left it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She would come and visit the child, not on a daily basis, otherwise it would be, you know, exposed, the whole secret. But from time to time, you know, with the pretext of going and looking for firewood or something, she would go to that area and then go into the cave, and she would see that, although I am not coming every day, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing nutrition for the baby. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The mother also used to come from time to time, until he grew up to an age where he could actually, you know, walk by himself. And this is actually a few years after that. And this is where he comes there for the first time. You know, when you hear the stories where he saw that, you know, they are worshiping the moon and the star, and he says, well, I wouldn't believe in this. And then the moon goes down, he says, well, you know, something which sets down, I don't believe in it. These are actually not only, you know, the style of debate and discussion. This is the first time he's actually coming out in an open area. Ibrahim had not seen sunrise or sunset before he came out of the cave. That era is known as the era of ghaybat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have a long narration about this from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says, فَلَمْ يَزِلْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فِي الْغَيْبَةِ. Look at the use of the term غَيْبَةِ. The sixth Imam says that Ibrahim continued to stay in غَيْبَةِ مَخْفِيًّا لِشَخْصِهِ, hiding himself, كَاتِمًا لِأَمْرِهِ, concealing his reality, حَتَّى ظَحَرَ فَصَدَعَ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until, you know, he came out with his reality by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa adhhar Allah qudratuhu alayh fihi, and Allah manifested His power through Ibrahim alayhi salam. After discussing this long hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, salawat mana ek barar. Allama Tabatabai, the prominent mufassir of the Quran in this century, then he actually looks at similar ahadith from Sunni sources about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he concludes. And his conclusion is very interesting, where he says, at the least, one thing worth mentioning is that the scholars of hadith and history are unanimous that Ibrahim, during his early years, was hidden in the cave. He was in the state of ghaibat, out of fear that King Namrud would kill him. Then he came out of the cave and argued against his people about the issue of idols or worshipping the Venus, the star, or the moon and the sun. And he also argued against the king's claim of divinity. The context of the verses of the Quran supports this aspect of the narration. So he says, if you look at the ayat of Quran and these ahadith from Shia and Sunni sources, you have no choice but to believe in the ghaibat of Ibrahim alayhi salam during the early years of his life. Salawat alayhi salawat alayhi. What is the state of Isa ibn Maryam? All the Muslims believe that Isa is still alive. We have what we call the text of the Quran saying that he was not killed, he was not crucified. Rather, Allah took him up. Bal rafa'uhu. So he's there more than 2,000 years now. And he's there, we believe that, and how would you describe that? If not ghaibat, then what? And so this concept of ghaibat, of the hujjat of Allah in form of a Nabi or a Rasul or an Imam, being away from the people by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not alien to Islam or Quran and unique to the Shia Isna'ashari faith. Even if you look at the example of, you know, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brothers basically conspired to kill him, they didn't know what happened. But during that time, Yaqub alayhi salam knew he was alive. The brothers didn't know that. He was alive but not recognized by the people, not identified as Yusuf bin Yaqub. That time frame in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam is in a way the time of ghaibat, where people who knew him didn't recognize him at that time. Even when you look at Musa alayhi salam, from the time of his birth, you know, he's raised in the house of his enemy. You know, people plan, but Allah is the best of planners. Fir'aun wanted to kill every child born those days, because he also was told that the person who is going to destroy you is going to be born now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, concealed the pregnancy of Musa's mother. And even when he was born, Allah says in the Quran that we inspired to the mother of Musa, put the baby in the basket in the water. We will take care of him. And we will join you back with him. And this is where we see the whole issue, you know, where Pharaoh's wife discovers him, have that, you know, love for this baby. And Musa alayhi salam is raised in the palace of his own enemy. And that took time until he became, you know, a teenager. And then the incident happened where he had to flee from that city, goes to Madian, and then ends up marrying the daughter of Prophet Shu'aib, spends 10 years of his life there. All that years of his life is basically, technically, we can call it ghaibat. He's there among the people, but even Bani Israel did not know him, that he is our Messiah, he is the one who is going to rescue at the end. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him when he's coming back from Madian, that now it's time for you to go to Fir'aun. And this is where we see that this concept of ghaibat, being away from the people, or even living among the people where people not recognizing him, you know, this is not unique to the Shia Isna'asharis. It is there even in the pre-Islamic history of the Anbiya and Mursaleen. Salawat upon the Iqbara. What about the Shia history? Muslim history, let's say. Do we have this concept of ghaibat before the birth of the 12th Imam? Because sometimes we are told all these ideas of Mahdiwiyat, you know, the Messiah, the Savior at the end, and this concept of ghaibat, these are all invented later on by the Nawab of the Imams or by the Ulama who came soon after ghaibat Kubra started. You look at the history of Islam. After the events of Karbala, and I can't really go into details because then we'll be going into details of all these different groups. I'm very, you know, very briefly talking about it. After the events of Karbala, a group emerged which is known as Kaysaniyya, and they are no more existing now. But this was a group of people, apparently those who were around Mukhtar. And there is a debate about it, whether Mukhtar was part of that movement or not. We don't believe it, but there are people who believe in that way. They started believing in Muhammad Hanafiya as the Imam after Imam Hussein. And who is Muhammad Hanafiya? Muhammad Hanafiya is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen from Hanafiya. That's the name of the mother's tribe. And you know, we don't believe that Muhammad Hanafiya himself claimed to the Imam, to be the Imam, against Imam Zainul Abidin, no. But a group emerged who called themselves Kaysaniyya, and they were there for some time, till the days of the sixth Imam, and gradually then they vanished. It came to an end. What was their aqidah about Muhammad Hanafiya? They actually believe that Muhammad Hanafiya is not dead. They said he has gone into ghaibat. We're talking about the fourth Imam and fifth Imam's time. This idea of ghaibat is not related to the 12th Imam only. And this shows that, you know, the concept was already there, prophesied by the Prophet, but misidentified and misused by certain groups in different times in Muslim history. Another example, and which is, I think, more interesting for us, is the Ismailis. Now, when I use the word Ismailis, I should clarify. Ismailis is the technical name for the group who believes that after the sixth Imam, his son, Ismail, was the Imam. And this is the major group which continued until the end of the Fatimid kingdom in Egypt. This was the Ismaili kingdom, Khilafat. When the Fatimid kingdom came to end, the Ismailis split into two groups. One is known as Nizariya, the other is known as Musta'lawiya. Probably you never heard those names. Nizariya are the one who are followers of the Aga Khan, whom you call Ismailis. Actually, Ismaili is all those who believe in Ismail to be the Imam after Imam Ja'far Sadiq. Nizariya are the one who follow Aga Khan. Ismaili Aga Khani. Musta'lawiya is the group which is now known as the Bohri Ismailis. Even Bohris are technically Ismailis. They believe in Ismail as Imam after the sixth Imam. Now, when we look at Ismailis, I remember once when I was in the 80s in Vancouver, once a former Ismaili came to see me in my home. And he told me that whenever you talk to Ismailis, don't talk about your present imam, because you have a ghaib imam, and that community has a hazir imam, they are not going to follow you. So he was kind of trying to put down this concept of ghaib imam. You know, people, those who have a hazir imam will not abandon that to go to a ghaib imam. What surprised me that this fellow who had actually written a book, a small book on history of Ismailis, coming from his Ismaili background, he himself was either ignorant or oblivious of the concept of ghaibat in the Ismaili theology. Because if you look at the history of theology of the Ismailis, majority of them believe that Ismail died during the time of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. But then, you know, how did this concept continue? That Ismail is the Imam. Well, there were different groupings which were formed among the Ismailis until they came to kind of a mainstream group. The earlier group was who were known as Al-Ismailiyya Al-Khalisa, the pure Ismailis. They actually believed that Ismail had not died. He went into ghaibat. And his father arranged the ghaibat process for him. And his father deliberately confused the people for the sake of taqiyya, to protect his life. So even taqiyya is there. It's not unique, it's Naishari concept. You know, the issue of ghaibat is being talked about. And they say Ismail never died, went into ghaibat, and he is the one who will appear at the end of time, and he will rule the whole world. So there is a concept of Imam Ghaib even among the Ismailis. Another group known as Al-Mubarakiyya, an Ismaili group during those days, they said, no, Ismail died during the days of his father. But then his father raised him back to life by mu'jiza and miracle. And then Ismail went into ghaibat and occultation. And this is where we see that, you know, it's not only Ismail that they believe he went into ghaibat. You know, there are others also. Even his son Muhammad, the main founder of the Ismaili idea, is the son of Ismail, Muhammad bin Ismail bin Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq. If you really want to see historically the main founder of Ismaili Madhab, it is Ismail's son Muhammad. Even when you look at, you know, their history, we have a famous missionary of the Ismailis in the 5th century of the Hijrah by the name of Muhammad bin Ali al-Suri, where he has some poetry about the Ismaili Imams. And I'll just present to you some lines from it. Very interesting. You know, and this is the translation that I've done of the Arabic poetry, where he says, the Banu Abbasid Sultan, referring to Mansur, the Banu Abbasid Sultan of the age was a man very strong and a savage. And he was a cruel and savage guy. The fear of Abbasid Sultan's animosity caused Ismail to disappear prematurely. Not die. Disappear. This is ghaibat. Just as Muhammad after him had to hide. Even Muhammad bin Ismail had to go into ghaibat while the Sultan searched and spied. But Allah took him under his protection. Then he guarded him in his station. And there's two lines at the end are very important. After him, many imams went into hiding, for tyranny and darkness was spreading. So this concept of ghaibat, of the imam moving away from the community, hiding from the community, is not unique to the Isna'asharis. It is there even among the Kaysaniya and the Ismaili Shia. Salawat Parnaik Parah. When we come to the Musta'laviyya Ismailis, the Bohris, many of our people believe that they have an imam. They call him Sayyidina. No. If you look at the line of their imams, the 21st imam of the Bohri Ismailis, his name is At-Tayyib bin Al-Amir. They believe that he is still alive. Imamat has ended with him, and he is in the state of Ghaybat. All those leaders of the Bohri Ismaili community who come after At-Tayyib bin Al-Amir are not known as imams. They call them Da'iyya Mutlaq. Da'iyya Mutlaq means the authorized missionary of the faith. They don't even use the term imam because they believe he's the last imam, and that last imam is alive and he is in the state of ghaibat. The reason why I'm talking about all these examples is just to give an idea that sometimes we think, oh, we are in isolation. And people say, oh, you know, this is a funny group out there among Muslims who believe in imam ghaib. No. The concept of ghaibat is there from the sayings of Rasulullah and the imams, including Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. In his conversation with Kumail bin Ziyad, Imam says, you know, that there must be a hujjat of Allah on the earth at all the time. Imma zahirun mashhur, and that hujjat of Allah either would be apparent and known, or ghaibun mastur, or he will be unseen and concealed. And this is the first imam actually talking about it. So these concepts of ghaibat, the concept of the imam not being among the community, you know, this is not something which was invented later on after the ghaibat of the 12th imam. This is based on the teachings of the prophet and the imams themselves. Yes, people have misidentified the Mahdi of the Akhir Zaman and this concept of ghaibat. But you have to realize, whenever you have imposter Mahdis or imposters imams who you are supposed to be in ghaibat, at least imposter, you know, copy of an item is itself a proof that there is a genuine and real one out there. When there are imposters out there, it means there is someone who is the real Mahdi, who is in the state of ghaibat, waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his appearance. Salawat upon the Quran. And so you don't need to be, you know, surprised with this concept of ghaibat and, you know, think that, oh, this is a weird idea. No, this is there. If you have studied Islamic literature, you will see that it is part of the Islamic concepts and teachings. Before I go to Urdu, let me, conclude with the ayat which I recited earlier from Surah Baqarah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalika al-Kitab. La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqeen. That Allah has sent down the book, the Quran, in which there is no doubt, and this has been sent down as a guidance for the people who are righteous. And the first quality, as I said earlier, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in ghayb. Is Allah zahir? Zahir in a sense visible to us by the eyes? No. Allah is ghayb. The revelation which came to the Prophet is ghayb. We see in a written form we have the printed version, but this is not what Jibreel brought. Quran came on the heart of Rasulullah, not in a physical form. He added the words which were then put down in the written form. So wahi is ghaib. When we talk about the anbiya who came before Rasulullah, for us, even that is ghaib. We haven't seen them. When we talk about the qiyamah, that is ghaib. We haven't seen it, but we believe in it. So ghaib is actually the basis of many of the belief which are there in revealed religions. And then Allah says, then muttaqeen are those who believe in ghaib, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish prayers, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they give in charity from whatever we have blessed them with. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, and these are the ones who believe in what has been sent down to you. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and whatever was sent down to the prophets before you. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and they are convinced and they are sure about the akhirah, although akhirah is unseen for us until we go and see on the day of Qiyamah. Salawat upon the Ikbar. Let us have the second question before I go to Urdu. The duration of the phase of ghaibat known as ghaibate as-sughra. You hear about 3 or 4 choices there. Only one is the right one. What is the highest one there? Huh? 69? 69 is the right answer. Salawat parna ek bara. Ghaibat ka tasavvur, kuch log zara ghabra jate hain ki imam ghaib hain, to kis tarah se logon ki hidayat karte hain? How does he guide them? ये कोई नया सवाल नहीं है, 21st century का नहीं है, ये हमारे first century of हिजरा का सवाल है. इमाम से पहले ही छोटे इमाम से किसी ने पूछा था, فَكَيْفَ يَنْتَفِعُ النَّاسُ بِالْحُجَّةِ الْغَائِبِ الْمَسْتُورِ, इसलिए कि छोटे इमाम और दूसरे इमाम जो आए थे उनके बाद और उनसे पहले अक्सर इमाम मेहदी की बात करते थे. तो किसी ने सवाल किया कि इमाम जब गायब होंगे और मस्तूर पोशीदा होंगे तो लोग उनसे किस तरह से इस्तेफादा करेंगे, हाउ विल दे बेनिफिट फ्रॉम हिम. इमाम ने जवाब, छठे इमाम ने बहुत ही अच्छा जवाब दिया, कमा यंतफ़िउन बिश्शम्स इज़ा सत्तरह सहाब, लोग इमाम से गैबत में भी इस्तेफादा करेंगे, बेनिफिट करेंगे जिस तरह से सूरज से बेनिफिट करते हैं जबकि उसके सामने बादल छाया जाता है. अगर क्लाउडी डे भी तो होता है तो हमें अंदाज़ा होता है डे है, रोशनी होती है, भले हम सनराइज को ना देखें लेकिन रोशनी होती है. तो पर्दा है सामने लेकिन फिर भी इस्तेफादा हम करते हैं. खुदावंद आलम ने रसूल को कहा है कुरान में, सिराजम मुनीरा, यू नो शाइनिंग लाइट और लैम्प. इमाम मासूम भी रसूल की जगह पे है. छठे इमाम ने कहा है कि इमाम गैबत में सूरज की तरह है जिसके सामने बादल आ चुका है. और अगर आप इस दुनिया को देखें और सूरज से मिलाएं तो सूरज का रोल हमारे इस लाइफ में क्या है? इस अर्थ में और ज़मीन में अगर हयात है, लाइफ है, तो सूरज की वजह से है. हमारे अहादीस में है कि अगर ये दुनिया कायम है तो हुज्जत की वजह से कायम है. अगर ये सूरज की शुआ न हो, सन रेज न हो, तो हमें ये जो हरारत है, वॉर्म्थ नहीं मिलेगी. ये सूरज की वजह से हमें ये मौसम मिलते हैं जो तब्दीलियाँ आती हैं हर साल. अगर ये सूरज की शुआ ना होती तो ये ज़मीन जो है बिल्कुल फ्रीज हो जाती और इसमें न कुछ नबात होता, न वेजिटेशन होता, न हमारी ज़िंदगी मुमकिन होती. حجت خدا در حقیقت وسیلہ ہے ہمارے لیے. یہ زمین قائم ہے اس کی وجہ سے, یہ زندگی چل رہی ہے اس کی وجہ سے, یہ نور اگر ہے تو اس کی وجہ سے ہے, یہ رزق جو اللہ کی طرف سے ہمیں ملتی ہے اس کی وجہ سے ہے. اور اگر وہ نہ ہوتا تو یہ زمین جو ہے ساخت العرض کہا جاتا ہے کہ یہ زمین کلپس ہو جائے گی. اور جس طرح سے سورج جو ہے جب بادل کے پیچھے ہوتا ہے پھر بھی اس کی روشنی آتی رہتی ہے. امام غیبت کے پردے کے پیچھے ہیں لیکن امام کا نور اور ان کی ہدایت ابھی بھی لوگوں کے لیے موجود ہے. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار آپ. انگریزی میں ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں, بلکہ عربی میں بھی کہتے ہیں, اردو فارسی میں بھی کہتے ہیں کہ سورج غروب ہو گیا, سن سیٹ. ٹیکنیکلی واٹ اٹ از مین, دا سن وین ڈاؤن. یہ لفظ جو ہے سائنٹیفکلی یہ ٹرو فیکٹ نہیں ہے. ڈز دی سن گو ڈاؤن؟ ہم کہتے ہیں سن رائز اینڈ سن سیٹ. اصل میں کیا ہوتا ہے, سورج نہ ابھرتا ہے نہ ڈوبتا ہے, سورج اپنے جگہ پہ ہمیشہ ہے. یہ ہم اور آپ ہیں اور دنیا کا وہ حصہ ہے جس پر ہم ہیں جو سورج سے دور چلا جاتا ہے. ہم ہیں جو غروب ہوتے ہیں, ہم ہیں جو طلوع ہوتے ہیں. سورج اپنے جگہ پہ تھا, اس کی روشنی پہنچتی تھی. امام پردے غیبت میں ہیں لیکن موجود ہیں, ان کی ہدایت آتی ہے. اگر ہمیں کبھی نہیں ملتی ہے تو امام نے ہدایت کو روکا نہیں ہے. ہم جس طرح سے سورج سے دور چلے جاتے ہیں, امام وقت سے بھی دور چلے جاتے ہیں. صلوات پڑھ دیں ایک بار. اسے فگر آف اسپیچ ہم کہتے ہیں کہ سورج چلا گیا, سورج جو ہے غائب ہو گیا. امام حاضر ہیں. آپ جو گھبراتے ہیں کہ بھائی وہ کہتے ہیں ہمارے حاضر امام ہیں ہمارے غائب ہیں, بھائی وہ حاضر ہیں. عقیدہ شیعوں کا یہ ہے وہ حاضر بھی ہیں ناظر بھی ہیں, دیکھتے بھی ہیں, انہیں سب خبر ہے کیا ہو رہا ہے. اور یہ ہمارا عقیدہ ہونا چاہیے. اگر صحیح معنوں میں سوچا جائے تو غیبت ان کی نہیں ہے, غیبت ہماری ہے. وہ بادل جو ہے اس نے سورج کو کور نہیں کیا ہے, یہ کلاؤڈ جو ہے ارتھ کے ایٹموسفیئر کو کور کرتے ہیں, سورج کو نہیں کور کرتے ہیں. ہم کہتے ہیں کہ اس نے سورج کو کور کر دیا ہے. یہ غیبت جو ہے امام کی نہیں ہے, یہ ہماری ہے. ہم ایک لحاظ سے امام سے دور ہیں لیکن وہ پردے میں ہونے کے باوجود بھی ان کی ہدایت ہے, ان کی برکت ہے. کبھی کبھی یہ ہوتا ہے کہ انسان جو چیزیں روزانہ ہوتی رہتی ہیں نا, دے بیکم اوبلیویس آف اٹ بیکاز اٹ از دیئر کانسٹنٹلی. کتنی بار ہم لوگوں نے سورج کو دیکھ کے شکریہ ادا کیا ہے کہ بھائی تمہاری گرمی جو ہے ونٹر میں یاد آتا ہے, لیکن اس طرح سے تو ہم لوگ یاد نہیں کرتے ہیں, جب مس کرتے ہیں تب یاد آتا ہے. تو کبھی کبھی جو چیزیں جو ہمیشہ ہوتی ہے, جیسے مثلاً مولوی صاحبان جس کمیونٹی میں ہوتے ہیں, کیونکہ ہمیشہ ہوتے ہیں تو بہرحال قدر بھی نہیں ہوتی ہے. سورج بھی ہمیشہ ہوتا ہے, اس کی قدر نہیں ہوتی ہے. امام کی برکات ہمارے پر مسلسل ہیں لیکن ہم توجہ نہیں دیتے ہیں. اگر ہم متوجہ ہوں, بے یمنہ رزق الورا, کہ دنیا کو رزق پہنچتی ہے خداوند عالم کے طرف سے اپنے حجت کے ذریعے, وہ ہمارے وسیلہ ہیں اور وہی ہمارے واسطہ ہیں خدا اور ہمارے درمیان. انہی کلمات پر خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ میں دعا ہے, خداوند اس قلب قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما, خداوند شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، انہیں تمام فتنہ خصوصاً عقیدے کے فتنے اور چیلنجز جو آ رہے ہیں ان سے محفوظ رکھ۔ خداوند مسلمانوں میں برادری اور امن کی فضا پیدا کر، خصوصاً وہ لوگ جو شیعان علی ہیں اور جو تکفیری افواج کے حملے میں آتے ہیں، خداوندہ تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔